from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Danny and Dusty.
My Uncle Gus is the uncle that liked to work the grill. As soon as you walk in the house, it's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Chandler, throw the match. Now that's a fire.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm not cooking a brontosaurus burger.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on a glorious Thursday afternoon, live on location at PDXYZ. A nice 100-yard dash away from our
That's right. Our
typical stomping grounds at the Odyssey Building. But we do have quite the setup out here. We got a nice little open, what would you call this?
Courtyard.
Quasi-courtyard?
Yeah.
Nice little garden. Little overhangs, some outdoor lighting. It's quite beautiful.
It is. It's a good little setup here.
I like it. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM or watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan, we appreciate you. Love you. Thanks for hanging out with us on this illustrious and wonderful Thursday afternoon.
An illustrious
like
Thursday.
Mm.
Okay.
It's illustrious because they let us out of the cage.
Yeah, it is. It's nice to have the separation from Rust a little bit.
Right.
You know?
Oh, I see how we're going to be.
Actually, no, I love you, Rust. You know what, though? Our boss always gets mad at us for when we take our breaks and how late we are. I think what we've learned today is that maybe it's because of Rust.
Yeah.
Because we've been on time.
We've been on time.
On time all day.
Even early.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Well, I mean, the record does state that we have been on time today.
Yeah, it does. So. Stats don't lie. So watch this whole hour be an absolute disaster.
Complete train wreck.
I would expect nothing less.
Hey, maybe not even on time, but early, Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Delivering early in Broncos camp. I mean, look, this is not a shot at Bo. In any way, shape, matter, or form, Ducks fans, calm down. But when the competition is Zach Wilson and Jarrett Stidham, you're probably going to shine. You're probably going to stand out. But he's even standing out beyond that.
Yes, he is. I think the hesitation with Bo Nix would be, was he a product of a system in Oregon, whether it was with Kenny Dillingham and Will Stein, who run very similar offenses where they scheme guys open, or did Bo Nix truly grow as much as we saw him grow from year one to year two at Oregon? And we knew that the fit with Sean Payton in that style of play where it's very similar. It is quick hitting. It's a lot of underneath stuff. It is take what the defense gives you. It's a quarterback that thrives in Sean Payton's system is a processor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it is pre-snap, at snap, post snap. Can you dissect it as quickly as Drew Brees did, for God's sakes? And
supercomputer.
That was the thing that everybody raved about Bo Nix from when he, even when he was at Auburn, before he even got to Oregon. There's a reason why he started as a true freshman at Auburn when they were a top 25 team. It is because Bo Nix, between the ears, was ahead of the curve then. And the commitment to being a football junkie has always been something that you heard Lanning talk about it ad nauseum, and you thought it was just coach speak, but he's a film grinder. When he's not watching film, he's driving somewhere to go and watch film, and that's kind of who he is. What we are seeing, and look, you could take practice footage, and just like with Xavier Worthy, and we were talking about that earlier, where he gets pushed 20 yards off of his route at the line of scrimmage. You can take camp film and you can throw it out, because there are, especially when you have a young quarterback, you go through a practice and you actually have sessions and periods during a practice where
from the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All the wonders of working remotely outside the studio at Odyssey Station. We're back, and apologies there. We were, before technology rudely interrupted us, we were talking about Bo Nix and his acclimation to the NFL and his growth early on with the Broncos. And the thing that is standing out, as I said to absolutely no one as we were off air, was that if you Google Bo Nix Broncos right now, every single article that is out there will has some version of, this is how Bo Nix becomes the starter on game one. Bo Nix is moving towards being the starter. Bo Nix is outplaying Jarrett Stidham. At every kind of marker, no matter what way it's being told or how the narrative is shaping, the word that is coming out of Broncos camp and hitting every local and national media member that covers the Broncos is Bo Nix is going to be your starter week one unless something drastic changes.
Yes, and I think that they were kind of always trending in that direction with Stidham and Zach Wilson being the two guys that were there. And they when they acquired Zach Wilson, it wasn't the same way that when Minnesota picked up Sam Darnold. And it was like, no, we are going to let J.J. McCarthy grow into becoming an NFL quarterback and a starter at the NFL level. Denver hitched their wagon to Bo Nix early. And, you know, it was one of those things where they brought in competition that had already proven that they are not NFL quarterbacks, to be quite honest. And not that Sam Darnold has done anything that blew anybody's hair back, but he was more established as a guy that can navigate you through a season, especially with the weapons that they have in Minnesota. They were willing to go through some growing pains in Denver, and there will be a lot of growing pains in Denver. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just not there yet. But the fact is that I think what we have learned through training camp is the marriage of Peyton and Nix is not going to be one that fails immediately. It's not going to be Russell Wilson, Sean Payton.
No.
The skill set that Bo Nix has as a processor and get the ball out quickly, like we all knew this about Russell Wilson, right? He was a play action, deep shot guy, right? And it was not a get the ball out quickly. He was he held onto the ball way too damn long, mm-hmm. and created a lot of sacks and a lot of hits, and he was a creator. It was never going to work with Sean Payton. Bo Nix works with Sean Payton because you can call them checkdowns. You can call them, you know, getting the ball out quick, however you want to look at it. That's a style of quarterback that thrives with Sean Payton. And look no further than Drew Brees, who everybody said his shoulder was shot, and he had one of the most dynamic careers that we have seen.
A resurrection of sorts. Yes.
After a shoulder injury that red flagged him to Miami.
Yeah. Dante Culpepper, huh? That's who they went with?
Yeah, they did.
That's tough.
They did.
The next mark, as it were, for Bo Nix in Denver camp is this Saturday. They aren't going to go full bore, but he said to the media that the opportunity to kind of make the progress to plant a flag for the number one is that Stidham and Nix will both get a chance to do a move the ball practice against Denver's ones on defense, which will kind of start to show where each guy truly stands in the pecking order. And I think whoever comes out of that is going to have the head start for that number one job, which if you're a Broncos and or Ducks fan, that's the thing that you're kind of looking at. So,
yeah, and this is the time that we start seeing those separations and if there is a battle anywhere. And look across the NFL. Where do you have legitimate quarterback battles right now? Denver? Vegas, but that seems like it's Gardner Minshew's job.
Not a Minnesota.
Pittsburgh, based on injury to Russell Wilson right now.
We got fights in camp over those two now.
I don't think that. I think if you look around, it's Denver, Vegas, and maybe Minnesota if you want to squint at Minnesota right now. Everywhere else.
Because May's sitting down. Daniels is getting a job in Washington.
Yeah, quarterback is set.
It might be the most set at quarterback we've seen in the NFL across the league on obviously the high end, but also just the median level.
Yeah.
Maybe ever?
Well, even on the low end, because like Carolina's going to go with Bryce Young because it's year two and they don't have another option, right? You go through it. Stafford in L.A., Kyler Murray in Arizona, Brock Purdy in San Francisco, Geno Smith in Seattle, Bryce Young in Carolina, Baker Mayfield in Tampa. You've got Carr in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins is in Atlanta.
Yeah, and they've said they're not going to go to Penix.
Nope. You've got Sam Darnold is appearing to be the guy mm-hmm. in Minnesota at the beginning.
Love.
Jordan Love, Caleb. Jared Goff, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts. Daniel Jones still, Dak Prescott. I mean, everywhere in the NFC, it is set. And that is that's the conference that does not have elite quarterback play. And in the AFC, it's even easier to go down that list, and you can name every single starter. There's just not a whole lot of battles, but we're going to start seeing positionally where there's a ton of battles across the league. Those scrimmages are going to be the ones that really matter.
All right, pivot a little bit to the Olympics, because, yes, those are still ongoing. We're in the throes of them. We're witnessing greatness right now as Simone Biles reigns supreme yet again, winning another gold medal in the all-around competition, doing what she has done historically now for 11 straight years. If she competes in an event, she wins. Now, this is one of the closest margins of victory she's ever had, but she did hold off Rebecca Andrade of Brazil, while Suni Lee, also an American, finished bronze. I'm not sure whose story is more insane this cycle. Suni Lee, who's battling a kidney disease, and her chances at being at the Olympics alone were kind of up in the air, or Simone Biles coming back as the old head in a sport that does not favor anyone over the age of 20.
not just like being older, but being dinged up too. Yeah. She's been working through that
foot injury
or lower leg, whatever it is. I think that is even more impressive because you see that pop and the bounce that she still has. Simone Biles is incredible, but like her run of dominance in gymnastics, when you have moves that are named after you, you're pretty damn good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I heard somebody go through the list of moves named after her. I believe she has 7 in total
crazy.
Across events. So in the vault, on the beam, on the floor, I believe she had, and then one other. I think there's 4 events, and she either has 6 or 7 total moves. She has the Biles and the Biles 2 in different events.
I saw this, the Simone Biles documentary that they have on Netflix. Mm-hmm. She talked about, like, in order for the move to happen, to be named after you, you have to hit it on like the first or second attempt,
mm-hmm.
or you don't get it named. So it's like when you roll it out into competition, you better
you got to stick it
and do something that nobody's ever done before. That's crazy.
Yeah,
she is insane. But I think if you talk about like the dominance, like Katie Ledecky too, she made history today. She won her 13th medal.
Mm-hmm.
She won the 1500 meters when she finished and nobody else was in the picture.
No.
Like, that's how, and she has the top 25 fastest times in the 1500 meters. That is absolutely crazy.
It's a level of dominance that we are seeing. And this is kind of, I think, part of the discussion is Katie Ledecky, Simone Biles. Where do they rank in the pantheon of dominance? Because we talk about the Michael Jordans of their sports. Simone Biles, Michael Jordan might not be the Simone Biles of basketball.
Yeah.
Because Michael Jordan has LeBron James. He has Kareem. He has Wilt Chamberlain. He has Bill Russell that are nipping at his heels. When you look at Biles and what she's accomplished, there are only 3 women ever who have been 2-time Olympic champions in the all-around. Larissa Letnina of the Soviet Union in 56 and 60, and Vera Koslovska of Czechoslovakia in 64 and 68. Number one, the years I just mentioned, and number two, the countries I just mentioned that no longer exist.
Yeah, that is, I was going to say, neither one of those countries are a thing anymore.
Biles is also the oldest to claim the title in her sport, other than 30-year-old Maria Gorokovskaya
of
Soviet Union.
Who doesn't know that?
Who won the first ever Olympic all-around in Melbourne in 1952. And I don't know if you've noticed the difference.
She did a cartwheel?
Yeah. In what the advancements in gymnastics in the last 70 years, what they did then, and that's not to take away from them, what they did then, you've got like 8-year-old kids are mastering that stuff. It's like the vault is particularly hilarious compared to what they do now. It's absolutely bonkers.
There's a video going around. I'm retweeting it. The 1908 Olympics and what it looked like. Literally, the gymnastics, they had guys like the vault was, you had somebody sitting on what, the pommel horse,
mm-hmm.
and then the competition was if you could go off a springboard and jump over that person. That's what the gymnastics was in the 1908 Olympics.
And the high jump didn't even have the Fosbury flop yet.
Well, no, because Dick Fosbury, still alive.
Well, that's upset.
I'm pretty sure.
Well,
Oregon State legend, Dick Fosbury. Nope, he died last year.
Oh, okay.
Damn.
Not super dead, but gunned down in his prime.
Yeah. Born in 1947, though, and the Fosbury flop, it wasn't a thing until, like...
Until Fosbury.
It didn't become popularized 68? Until the 70s, though, and people are like, hey, maybe we should do what this guy's doing and change the high jump forever.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's kind of what Simone Biles has done. But again, with having moves named after you and having so many named after you across events, I mean, her level of dominance is particularly in a sport, again, 27 years old. Tug of war.
They had tug of war in the 1908 Olympics.
Why don't we
and
have
I
that?
Think we need that. They need to bring, if you can have break dancing, bring back the tug of war.
Imagine putting, like, I don't know, Brian Shaw on the back end of that thing.
Yeah. Dude, the Nordic nations, the island nations, like Fiji, Samoans, America, Fiji. Samoa,
oh,
they would, like, you would have just some.
We do pretty good in that, though.
I bet here's the reason why. They don't have rope strong enough. Can't do it anymore.
You get,
I bet they just rip that thing apart.
You get the steel, you get the steel cabling.
Yeah, that's right. Parachute.
Paracord.
Yeah, you can go ahead and do that. They need to bring tug of war back, though. That would be awesome.
Tug of war is that's a god. I wonder what other events we've lost. What other events have we had that, you know, back then that...
Baseball?
Yeah.
But that wasn't back then.
It's weird that it's not an Olympic sport, right?
Yeah, well, it was.
I mean, it's...
Aren't they bringing it back?
I thought that was the reason they brought the World Baseball Classic, was that we're not.
Well, yeah, they got rid of it. I know that for sure.
Yeah.
But I thought there was a push to bring baseball back to the Olympics. But I don't know. I don't know, man. It debuted in the 1900 Olympics in Paris. Baseball did.
Here's
hey, they should. So it was in the 1908 Olympics.
Here's a list of Olympic sports that we no longer have. Chariot racing, which I think we should bring back.
Yeah.
Hot air ballooning.
No.
I mean, that one's...
No, that kind of...
A swimming obstacle race.
That's now like, we're talking.
That sounds kind of like outdoor games. Either.
Ninja Warrior.
ESPN 8, the Ocho. I think I'm picking up what they're putting down.
2028 baseball's coming back.
Basque pelota.
No idea what that means.
The term Basque pelota means any sport played on a court with a ball and a racket. So maybe it was pretty confusing.
Oh.
Cricket?
That should be in the Olympics.
Right?
It's the most popular sport in the world.
Outside of soccer, yeah.
I mean... It's pretty incredible. Is that the American influence? Like, we're not good enough at it. But the Young Bucks, they did the 20 under team. They beat Pakistan.
Yeah, a bunch of unemployed or a bunch of
unemployed guys.
But no, part time. I'd say part time players.
A bunch of unemployed guys went out there.
A bunch of part time players.
They went to the unemployment line. Wow. And were like, "Hey, bud, you want to play some cricket?" And they ended up beating the Pakistanis. It was amazing.
Here's one: distance plunging.
Huh?
Only one.
So diving?
No. It's very special.
All right.
Only one country competed in this weird event at the 1904 Olympic Games in St. Louis. It involved diving into the water, then going as far as possible underwater without moving any body parts. The winner was whoever coasted the longest distance in 60 seconds, or when they floated to the surface, whichever came first.
I feel like people died. Like when they say when they floated to the surface, it's like, yeah, Bill's dead, and we're gonna have to go find a new Bill. He won gold though. He did it.
The most recent one that we've lost, solo synchronized swimming, which kind of sounds like an oxymoron, but it was just swimming to music.
Yeah, so
they kind of went, and we're gonna pack that up.
Pool dancing.
They did. From 1912 to 1948, have Olympic Games medals awarded to artists inspired by sports. They were the arts competitions. Here's one, though. The last time it was played was 1936. Polo. Why isn't polo still a thing? That seems like we have equestrian.
Yeah, the rich people are just busy doing their dressage.
Are they gatekeeping it?
Yeah, they're doing just they got their dressage going down.
Okay.
Yeah. Man. I don't know.
RIP to I lost Olympic sports.
I think tug of war is top of my list on
that. I feel like we need to.
Because that's a sport any country can participate in.
It's like dodgeball. If you've got a ball, you can play.
Yeah, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Like, there's a lot of people. You could just like go down to like construction sites and be like, look at that dude. He's as strong as hell. You want to be on the tug of war team?
You just find the guy that literally lays cable.
Yeah.
Like, hey, the guy that pulls the cable through the tube every day.
Yeah.
Do you think he's good at that?
Yeah. I mean, there is a spot for the guy that you see at the gym who's like 5'6", but he just puts on all of the weight on the squat bar, and you're like, wow, that's impressive. I mean, he didn't have to squat very far, but that was really impressive.
Anchor,
what he
baby.
Just did. And yeah, you just throw that guy in there, leverage,
again,
get low.
You find those Brian Shaw types, 6'8", 450, 480 pounds, and go, hey, you want to pull something?
Yeah. This text on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Bowling and horseshoes would be okay, too. Maybe cornhole. Cornhole and pickleball are right around the corner for the Olympics.
Oh, pickleball is going to be there. Are you kidding me? You got influential stars buying pickleball teams for leagues that nobody really cares about. So you know it's going to be an Olympic sport.
It will be. And I think cornhole has a spot too. I don't know if they play cornhole anywhere else, but
we'll make it happen. Nobody played basketball anywhere else until we did.
I think darts would be great too. Have you ever watched a darts
competitive
match?
Competitive darts, when they go on the run, those announcers may be the best in sports.
Because darts would be cornhole. They're the equivalent to the summer games of like curling in
curling,
the winter
100%.
Games. Because you can drink and burn a heater while you're doing it.
It's actually encouraged.
It's the everyman game.
Yeah.
Yeah, aiming fluid. I mean, it helps you with your aim right there. I think we're not that far off.
They tend to frown upon if you drink and use like a firearm or a bow and arrow, but darts?
I don't know. That one dude, was it Turkey that
sent
the guy?
Yeah, he looked like he was ripping heaters in between.
I think he had a few pops because he didn't have the special glasses.
No, he didn't have the James Bond glasses or the glove or the shoulder.
He just rolled out there. He and then, was it the South Korean gal who went... She went gangster.
Oh, yeah. Turned that thing sideways.
She turned it sideways and just pop, pop, pop. I mean, that was impressive.
I mean, looked like a K-pop star. Looked like a music video.
Yeah.
But crushed it.
Pretty sweet.
Meanwhile,
though,
the Turkish dude looked like a Bond villain.
I felt like she looked like she was from The Matrix.
I saw somebody call the Turkish guy Jan Wick.
I mean, yeah. I get it. I mean, he definitely looks like an extra from Taken. So.
Is Jan a popular name in Turkey? When I think of Jan,
no,
I think
Jan
of
like Y-A-W-N,
Norway.
Like sleepy.
Yeah, he did.
He looked like Turkish Juan.
He was like 51. He's 51.
Yeah, he's a little silver fox.
Yeah, just out there like, watch this. Bam. Yeah, that guy trains shooting beer cans in his backyard.
He was also, he may have had a couple pops because we even talked about this. The BPM meters on fans and participants, the heart rate monitors.
The parents in the stands.
Yeah, they were doing it on the.
That's pretty cool.
They were doing it on the archers too. I was watching archery this morning, and unsurprisingly, the South Korean against the German, the South Korean was hovering at like 78. German was like at like 102.
Crazy. That is wildly slow.
Yeah.
78.
Just up there, just.
Yeah.
I mean, very, very zen like, very focused. And it was like, oh, wow. Meanwhile, the German, like I said, was like 102.
Just all amped up.
Yeah, like,
Well, I mean.
Not to play spoiler, but the South Koreans won their 10th straight medal in archery.
Really?
That no team has won the gold because
archery's
they have
really
won
hard.
Every gold.
Archery's really hard. It is really hard.
It's one of those things that's like interesting because like what if the wind kicks up?
Yeah, hey, people
are wondering. That's a real thing.
People
like, because you do it outside.
Yeah.
Also, I have a bone to pick with the camera angle of archery. They just show the target and like the arrow kind of appears. When they show the camera angle from behind, you see like they shoot up. And it drops on the target. That's such it's a cooler way to watch it than just like all of a sudden arrow appear on target.
Saw that in 300 and in Braveheart.
Right?
Yeah.
It's very cinematic.
You got to shoot high.
Yeah, you know, you got to let the drop kind of figure things out.
Vancouver Ford Texan, can you imagine Haloti Ngata being an anchor for Tug of War? No.
Yes.
Like, you just roll out Haloti Ngata, Aaron Donald, J.J. Watt get hurt, maybe TJ.
TJ. Yeah. He gets hurt too.
So we got, I mean, squat like low squatty guys.
Saquon.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley would be good. Like, and if they had it back in the day, like Tony Siragusa would have been people would have loved Tony Siragusa being in the Olympics.
Oof, he would have been a blast.
Yeah, he would have had like
Olympics.
The dude wipes.
Oh yeah, at the Olympic Village.
Yeah.
Goodness.
See, this is what we need. We need to have tug of war back.
Those tug of war guys, because there wouldn't be any cardboard beds.
No, they'd have to bring steel reinforcements in for that.
Just not going to let that happen. All right, coming up next, what the hell is going on at Georgia? We'll get to that and more. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Well, sometimes it's better to just not try to imitate things. In the case of the Georgia Bulldogs, trying to imitate the early 2000s, late 90s Miami Hurricanes, racking up as many criminal charges as humanly possible, not a great idea. The Georgia Bulldogs have now dismissed wide receiver Ra-Ra Thomas after an arrest, who was arrested on multiple family violence charges.
This is nasty, and it this is gnarly stuff. I mean, this is completely different than a lot of the issues that Georgia's had surrounding their program lately. When you think of 29 infractions or arrests driving-related that have happened since January of 2023, when a staffer died in
street racing,
a street race after their national championship parade, those like traffic and the death of somebody is something completely different. And but since that date, they've had 29 citations or arrests for driving related things. Those are not the ones where you kick a guy to the curb and you say, "All right, we're going to forever alter your life." But this is very, very different, what Ra-Ra Thomas is being accused of. And obviously, there is something that Georgia has finally found out, and this is what every program does, is that they go through and they say, all right, we're going to try and find out what happened here. And then when they get the facts, they make that decision, whether he's in or whether he's out. And obviously, when you have multiple family-related violence charges, you can't do that. And Kirby Smart is saying, we're going to kick him to the curb, and he's not going to be part of this program anymore. Because, I mean, what he's being alleged of is cruelty to children, family violence, second-degree felony, and two misdemeanor counts of family battery and family violence.
The other part of this is, this is the second player that has been dismissed from Georgia this year. Senior safety David Daniel Sisavon was dismissed for what the program called a violation of team rules. He was charged with reckless driving after leading Atlanta police on a pursuit.
That's different.
Yeah, that's a little bit different. Ra-Ra Thomas was also stopped by police three times for speeding this offseason, in which on May 13th, he was allegedly driving 73 in a 45-mile-an-hour zone. So he was stopped on the same road where Georgia defensive tackle Jalen Carter was allegedly racing an SUV in January of 2023. This is a problem.
If I were a player for Georgia, I would be hitting up Uber and Lyft for an NIL deal, and I just wouldn't drive.
Just look at Coach. Look at me, Coach. Look at me.
Got this Uber NIL deal here. I'm not driving anymore. They got issues going on there, accountability issues, but Georgia is a machine. We talked about this earlier. Like, their graduation success rate is at 41%. And the next closest is 64%, which is UCLA. Mm. And that graduation success rate, it does not include guys who go to the NFL early. It does not include guys who transfer out of your program. That is the people that are at the University of Georgia for 3 to 4 years, long enough to obtain a degree, and do not get one. They get caught in that graduation success rate, and they're not doing it in the classroom. They're obviously having problems off the field as well. But as we were talking about this with Billy Napier, Kirby Smart wins football games. Mm-hmm. That's all the people will care about in Athens.
Do you think this is getting above the pale, though, or beyond the pale, and in the sense of how much this is piling up? Because this is not...
It starts adding up, man. That's for sure. But here... Like here in the Pacific Northwest, mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be adding up to the point where it would be an issue and they'd be calling for the coach to step down. Athens, Georgia is not here, and I do not think they care. All they care about is, are the Dogs going to win on Saturday?
Do you think this becomes a problem for the program, though, as far as the...
Oh, teams are going to use it against them in recruiting, for sure.
Not just that, but I mean, like, the throughput of what you're allowed to do and to get away with off the field. Because if there's been 29 reported and there's been instances like this, there is clearly a culture issue
Well, it's an accountability thing. And
that's going to trickle into the program and into the on the field eventually.
Until it does, it doesn't matter. I mean, like you were talking about Miami, harnessing their Miami won a lot of football games with a lot of issues and a lot of arrests.
It ended up tearing that program apart, though.
Well, I think coaches leaving.
Too.
Coaches leaving, and when you didn't win 12 games, they'd get all hot and bothered by it. Boosters had a big reason to do it, that, and guys, Larry Coker leaving obviously had a big factor in that, but... as long as Kirby Smart wins football games, it doesn't matter. And I don't think has it stopped them yet?
Well, so I'm wondering, is this the thread that you start pulling on and go, there's weakness in that Georgia team now? Because this isn't the thing that necessarily infects every winning program. You didn't see this at Alabama.
There was a time, though, like guys were getting arrested left and right, and Nick Saban got a lot of criticism for not doing anything about
it. And then he did put a collar around it.
And I think that's what we're starting to see with Kirby Smart, though, is he's going, all right, we're going to have to hold the guys accountable and start kicking guys off the team. I mean, two guys in a week, that's your warning shot right there. And Rob Thomas is a guy who's really stinking good. Like, he was their third leading receiver last year after Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers, two really good players.
Where are they at right now?
The NFL.
Okay.
Yep.
So, it's definitely something, I think, to keep an eye on.
Well, I mean, and maybe they weren't getting caught at the rate that they are right now, or maybe it's just not was making headlines, but we know Stetson Bennett was no choir boy when he was at Georgia either.
Yes. Turns out it. Real piece of work.
Yeah. So we're just starting to see it now. And look, when you have the inability to, and this sounds really bad, but in places like Alabama or Georgia, Tennessee, when you have the inability to keep these things under wraps, that's where the fracturing kind of starts, and we see it at Georgia, obviously.
And that's where I'm kind of going with the if this is the 29 reported ones, how many were under wraps. So.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we put a nice little bow on today's show, a Texas-sized lie coming out of college football. Whew. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. I like a good bold-faced lie as much as anyone.
Oh, this is a big one, too.
Especially in the state of Texas where football, not just the SEC, but in Texas especially, it just means more. Texas A&M quarterback Connor Weigman decided he was going to guarantee a win over Texas.
Okay, there's layers to all of this. First of all, Texas and Texas A&M, they haven't played since 2011.
It's been a hot minute.
It's been a really long time, and this was a heated rivalry, and everybody was excited once, you know, Texas was going to join up in the SEC that the Texas and A&M rivalry would be back. But Connor Weigman said that during his press conference yesterday that they were definitely going to win. It's going to happen. And then he also said, I've always wanted to beat Texas.
Mm.
Well, this is where the lie comes in, because in 2020, he was offered a scholarship by the University of Texas. And here's the quote from Connor Weigman. It's awesome. Texas has been my dream school since I was 3 years old. So that was a really cool moment. He always wanted to beat his dream school. Everybody has those thoughts.
Yeah, no, it just it happens, you know. Yeah. Well, this is the problem, is that you have in 2020, 17, 18-year-old kid who doesn't know what the things are going to change, and this is reality coming back and smacking him in the face.
Hey, I'll tell you what, when Texas sat there and said, no, we're good, we got this guy named Quinn Ewers instead, mm-hmm. and sent him packing, I think that probably changed his view on Texas a little bit there, and now he probably does just want to beat him. I think Texas rolls Texas A&M this year, but good luck to Connor Weigman in his ventures of beating the Longhorns this year. I'm glad that game's back, because that is a good one. Texas,
that's a level of crazy against a level of crazy.
Different types of crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you have fart-sniffing, we're better than everybody, we're Texas, crazy.
Then you have the cult.
Then you have quite literally a cult. Like, they are
a cult of overalls.
Farmer crazy.
Yeah.
Like, in that's a special kind right there.
Yeah, I mean, the FarmersOnly.com membership around A&M has got to be.
It's pretty high,
right?
It's agriculture and military. That's what the A&M stands for. So
yeah,
let's
I
go.
I hate how we get grouped in that. Okay.
No,
the collective we being
it's the A&M.
I know
the M. That's why they wear their weird little outfits when they do their cry practice. Or
I know,
practice,
but
whatever
it's
call
like
it.
It's not. Look, the military is culty, but we're culty in a cheeky and fun way.
That's not true at all.
It is true.
That is not true one bit. Nobody is saying that the military is cheeky and fun culty.
We are. We have a lot of fun. If you're within our country's borders, we cause issues, but we mostly leave you alone. We inflict pain and misery upon our own.
Quite literally, your guys' jobs is to inflict pain and misery on others.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm talking about locally, like when we're outside the country.
Don't
sure.
you guys hate each other within the
yes,
United States
we do.
Military?
And there's a certain pecking order. The Air Force being the smartest and the brightest.
Okay.
And then you've got the Marines who eat their flavor of crayons.
Okay.
It's just, you know.
Now, that is the way you're describing it is cheeky and fun.
See?
How many fights did you get into with
other
Marines
services
or seamen or cadets?
I mean, plenty.
Yeah.
Plenty.
See,
but
that's cheeky and fun.
It was, you know, those opportunities arise frequently and often, but they resolve themselves very quickly.
Yeah. There's nothing weird about being in the same military and fighting each other.
Hey, but also those same
it's
branches
cheeky and fun.
Also in those same instances came together and may or may not have ended up in jail cells in other nations.
And won back-to-back World Wars.
Undefeated back-to-back World War champions.
Yeah.
So, again, we have titles. Suck at A&M.
How do you guys feel about having to claim Space Force, though?
Look, we still haven't, because it was supposed to be originally for those that are unaware, the Air Force is a spinoff of the Army Air Corps, and we were kind of the redheaded stepchild for a little while, but then we got nicer toys, and we got more money than everyone else, and then they got really jealous.
And now y'all got drones.
Exactly, but Space Force, like, they are the tinfoil hat-wearing psychos. Like, I don't know anyone who truly claims them.
The Air Force does.
No.
They're part of the Air Force.
We look at them very differently. That's like, we typically look at the reservists and the guard as like, come on, guys. Like, even the reservists and guard services are looking at Space Corps and going, I don't know what this is.
Is it triggering to you when you read this text on the Vancouver Ford text line, Chair Force?
No, because I 100% know that it's a Marine that is trying to decide which color he wants to eat right now. He's trying to figure out, do I have green for dinner, or do I want to change it up and have yellow?
Another Vancouver Ford line or Vancouver Ford text line text. We are cheeky and fun while training to kill the enemies. Lots of fun. Good, clean, wholesome fun. Thank you for your service, by the way.
Yeah, it is. In between the killing, we have a lot of fun because we need to offset the morbid and the awful with a lot of fun. Otherwise,
I mean, Colts have fun until they drink the Kool-Aid.
See, we don't drink Kool-Aid. We drink Mad Dog.
All right, that'll do it for us out at PDXYZ. A special thanks to the folks out here at PDXYZ and Pier 150 for putting on this awesome event. If you missed any of our interviews, go check them out on the Audio Vault at 1080thefan.com. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Prime Time with Isaac and Suk. Isaac just got done as the moderator for the big panel. I'm sure that they will.
Did he take his poster?
If he doesn't, I am.
Mm.
I am. All right, have a great one. We'll see you on Friday from noon to 3 right here on The Fan.
Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.